is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, y'all. This is the Great Shalom. I'm Sharon Sarles, and we are finishing up a series on homeschooling or home education. This is 2020. We've had a very interesting year, and I am given to understand that there are many, many, many people who are just newly embarking on home education. And since we talk about learning problems here at the Great Shalom, and since we have talked about homeschooling, and since I have homeschooled two generations, not entirely, of course, but I have some victory to tell about in that. I think you've heard about some of that. Anyway, it seemed helpful to me to talk about home education. We gave several episodes toward encouragement. We gave one in practical time tips, which I think is very, very useful. And it occurs to me that I need to talk about some of the specifics about unenrolling your child and what you may need to do. And maybe some personal reflections would be helpful to you also. So you know in the United States that each state has their own laws regarding education, and each state has some real differences. There's a wide variety. I live in Texas, as you may have heard, and Texas is one of the states that, if perhaps the state that is the most friendly to homeschool. The Texas Constitution, yes, the Texas Constitution ensconces a right to privately educate children, and that right was further affirmed in the Leeper case in the 80s, and the Leeper case said, yes, there is a right to privately educate, and a homeschool may be considered a school. The state has the interest to see that the child learns reading, writing, arithmetic, and civics, and that there must be a definite written curriculum. It does not mean that you have to have a curriculum that is printed, but that you must write down a definite plan of education. And of course, this is entirely reasonable and shouldn't pose any problem, but it does put a restraint on people who are simply not educating their children and saying that they are homeschooled. And so this case was argued by the Lamberts, who run Texas Homeschool Coalition. And if you are a resident of Texas, I strongly encourage you to join Texas Homeschool Coalition. And in any case, you may wish to look at their website. They also make some recommendations about candidates for Texas residents. Now, otherwise, the other great organization is the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, HSLDA. And you should join that also. You should be prepared by joining one of these things. First and foremost, this is legal protection for you, so that if an official comes to your door, whether it's a truant officer or, more frighteningly, we call them CPS, Child Protective Services, which may not be the current name even in Texas, but somebody who is checking on the welfare of the child and is empowered to withdraw that child from the home. And there have been overreaches, abusive overreaches in families, even in Texas. Now, in other states, the requirements may be much more strict, and I don't know that any of them are bordering on abusive, but they may be a great deal more complicated. And in some other countries, the restraint is onerous, in my opinion, to the extent of taking away civil liberties. Germany has taken children out of the home because the parents were homeschooling. Homeschooling, as I understand it, is illegal in Germany, and I think that's completely unconscionable for a country that considers itself to be a liberal democracy rather than an authoritarian government. So that seems unduly authoritarian to me. And Germany, that has diversity, is supposed to be a democracy and has diversity of religion, that's beyond my understanding. But anyway, I will refer you to those two organizations, Homeschool Legal Defense Association or the Texas Homeschool Coalition, so that you will be thoroughly informed about the law where you are. And I don't have information about similar organizations in other countries, but if you wish to find that out, I would contact the Homeschool Legal Defense, HSLDA. Okay, so first you join. And then you know what the actual laws are, because you will find that school officials, CPS, people who look into child abuse in every state, and sometimes even lower level judges, will tell you things that are completely incorrect. And they will try to bully you. In my experience, even in Texas, even in Lubbock, so I was homeschooling my daughter, actually both my daughter and my grandchildren, I was homeschooling in Lubbock, Texas. Lubbock is a very conservative portion of Texas, and when I was homeschooling my grandchildren, fully 20% of Lubbock County was being home educated, and even under those circumstances, I faced a principal and the head of special education who bullied me, or attempted truly to bully me. They wanted to do whatever they wanted to do, and they were willing to break the law to do it. In fact, I have never dealt with a principal of a public school who was not willing to violate the laws. Okay, so there is a national law called the IDEA Act. It may be called other things. Off the top of my head, I believe it's PL 92-142, but I wouldn't stake my life on it because it's been too many years. But so if you were in a legal library, you could look it up. Anyway, it requires public school to give a free and appropriate education. And so this became the gold standard during the years that I was working on this, the 80s, the 90s, the early 200s. And then 504 was an amendment to another law that gave also requirements of some accommodations, and both some parents and many educators prefer working under 504 because it's a little less detailed than the original IDEA Act. And also they're supposed to be least restrictive. Now there is some controversy, of course, among the parents about what's the best. There were many parents who for some time felt that a self-contained classroom was better for their children, whereas generally the feeling, certainly among the educators, is that least restrictive means in the regular classroom. Now, if you've got a child who is mobility impaired and otherwise learning like the average child, clearly, obviously, they should be in the classroom. And that will be the argument the public school officials usually give you. But if a child is learning differently, perhaps they ought to be taught separately with other children who learn differently, or possibly not. But the law says least restrictive environment, and it also says appropriate education. So that's up to you and your professionals. So you may have someone who tested the child in terms of, you know, an EDD or a doctor, and they're helping you, and you're going to try with their enforce their recommendations on the public school with the IEP, the Individual Education Plan. And good luck, because when everybody is assembled in the room, and of course there are specific laws that say that you have to be included in that conversation. I know of cases where the parent was specifically excluded, but the parent's supposed to be included, and they're supposed to make appropriate educational plans for the children. This is so difficult, particularly when you have school officials who are hostile and willing to violate the law, that homeschooling, if you have good educational ability, homeschooling at home seems to me to be, for the average child and also for the majority of children who need special attention, homeschooling seems to be superior. This may not be true for every child. This is up to you, of course, as a parent and your situation. But in my case, I decided it would be a lot less effort to simply teach my child, and I would get a better outcome, better education for my child, than if I were to work enough to pay for an attorney, and it was going to take an attorney walking from class to class with her. Because no matter how much I could enforce the law in the ARD meeting, getting the teachers to actually comply was very difficult, particularly when their boss and the boss's boss was trying to work against it. So, and I discussed this with attorneys, and in a town as small as Lubbock, we're talking then about 500,000 people, the attorneys knew what was going on, and they would just say, look, maybe you ought to find another educational opportunity. I want to tell you, the kind of bullying that I got, they tried to stare me down once, like I was the bad kid. I knew what the law was, and I was trying to get appropriate education for my daughter, who wasn't really a hard case. Well, staring me down didn't work very well. I did find that it works a whole lot better if you bring a husband. And if you don't have a husband, bring a social worker or some other kind of professional. I was at an ARD meeting where they treated me like an ignorant campesino, and I had my Phi Beta Kappa key on, which they clearly didn't have any idea what it was, and I had the law book in front of me, and I had to call them down on breaking the law. And the woman who was the school counselor wrote the minutes to that meeting in non-standard English. So I want you to hear the level of frustration. Here I am with a master's degree and a Phi Beta Kappa key, and they're treating me like the problem is that I don't understand my daughter's ninth grade math. No, it's the fact that I don't know what the assignment is. Now today, you know, it would be posted on the internet, but back in the 90s, that wasn't true. And I just worked and worked and worked. And finally, when I left that meeting, I went to another professional meeting where I was a participant, and I sat beside a woman who was a principal, and she happened to be black. And I said, you know, this and this happened. I was a break. And they treated me like an ignorant campesino. And she said, just imagine if you were black. So she was telling me that as a professional member of that organization, she knew that went on. And she was advising me that it would have been worse had I been of another ethnicity. I can't imagine it would have been worse. But it came from gross ignorance as well as, I think, evil intent. Because they were more interested in their comfort, their budget. You know, I wasn't asking for anything, but like, I need to know what the assignments are. Could we get English at one level and math at another? She's far ahead in math, and since you can't give remediation in English, and I'm getting that over at the Scottish Rite, why can't... Anyway, when I homeschooled her, as I've told you, I'm sure, before, I saw advancements for 2 years of reading in every semester, every 6 months for 4 in a row. So she went from fourth grade reading level to 12th grade reading level in 2 years because I taught her, and she wasn't held back in math. They weren't willing to put her in math, you know, the level of math that she was in, because she was behind in reading. And she was behind in reading really because of bad instruction. And I thought this was a very reasonable and easy to fulfill request, and they just simply denied it. And that's finally why I took her out of public school. So your situation may be much different. You may have discovered that really it's not impossible to home educate. You may have discovered that the intention, the plans to deal with the disruption of the pandemic that we've had meant that the public school that you're dealing with, as it is here in the metro area where I live now, that they decided to scale back what they were going to do in the spring and then review that in the fall. And so you have possibly as much as 2 semesters, or at least 3/4 of a semester, that the child would be behind the average normal public school level, which you may not think is high. Anyway, I don't think it's high, and you may have discovered. So there may have been many rude awakenings or happy discoveries, and so this may be why you are withdrawing your child from school. So find out what the laws are about homeschooling, because they differ greatly. And don't go by the myths and the folklore, and certainly don't go by the public school telling you. And if your child has ever been enrolled in public school, I strongly encourage you to go and unenroll them. Go officially, and in most cases you have to go up there in person, and I would strongly urge you to go as a couple or with a professional and officially unenroll your child, because if a child simply doesn't show up, then they're going to be considered a truant. And sometimes that truancy charge, it's often an offense, and it often comes quickly, and so, but possibly not. So I would strongly encourage you to go up and officially de-enroll your child. And in many states, you have to register with the state. You may have to have an approved curriculum, but you need to know what the rules are in your state. If you get a hassle when you withdraw your child, then you have already joined HSLDA or Texas Homeschool Coalition, and call them for help. In Texas, you just need a written letter, but I would encourage you to go up there and be sure that it has been delivered, or maybe deliver it, return receipt requested, and by hand, both. The return receipt request is very important if you're trying to get an ARD, because they will start counting according to the law, 10 days they have to respond. And otherwise, if there is no proof, and they, even though they jolly well know they have 10 days, they simply will say they never got it. This is my experience. Okay, so every state does make homeschooling legal, but they will have a variety of regulations. There have been many cases, even in Texas, where school officials have claimed ridiculous and onerous things and tried to bully parents. And that's why you need to be a member of one of these organizations. Some have reportedly been telling parents that the parents must use a state-adopted curriculum. This is not correct. You do not have to use the state-adopted curriculum. And in most states, you don't even have to have a state-approved curriculum. But there are many good curriculum that you simply may purchase. Mardell is one Christian bookstore that stocks quite a lot of that. And you may have a kind of curriculum that doesn't use a printed curriculum. So Charlotte Mason, Montessori, and so forth. So that's why I say it does not have to be a printed, purchased curriculum. There are online schooling available, and I would strongly urge you not to rely on a public school online curriculum, because that has the worst of all possible worlds. We have ample scientific evidence that we don't read well off of a radiant screen, and while if you have an older child, there may be some things that you want to do on a screen, a small child doesn't need to be on a screen all day, and nobody reads well off a screen. Much better to be having a book to read out of and a teacher. Although sometimes you have that, and the online is simply an adjunct for a teacher to try to interface with the child, and sometimes that's useful. But there is no point in going with the free curriculum when the better curriculum is so low cost. And there are homeschool conventions where you can buy used curriculum and online, and I strongly encourage you to do that. We've already talked about discovering which curriculum your child needs in the Learn at Home for Great Shalom episode. And so, what's the final advice? Mr. Schmidt of HSLDA gave final advice in Epic Times of relaxing. Relaxing. But you know, I never relaxed when I was homeschooling my daughter, because back in the 80s, it was just such a conflictual situation. I felt like at any time somebody could ring my doorbell, CPS, and challenge me. And it never happened. But if it did, this is the procedure that I used. My daughter never came to the door with me. I always answered the door by myself. And I had the name and phone number of my attorney, one of these or both of these organizations, in the door frame. So all I had to do was open the door a crack and hand them the name and address of my attorney. That's all they were going to get out of me. They were not going to be able to talk to me or my daughter, because they are professionals at getting made-up confessions. And so, like anybody else who is attacking me in my door, legally, they just have to talk to my attorney, and that's it. So open the door. If you have any questions, talk to my attorney. End of story. So, fortunately, that never did happen. And it probably won't happen to you. So, enjoy homeschooling. It is so delightful. I wish I could go back to those years. Those are the most delightful memories, really. I remember being at the dining room table with a box of science experiments from the Boston Museum, and one of them was basic trigonometry, and my daughter and a neighbor girl were over there. I remember wonderful times with my grandsons, and again, you know, Montessori equipment and math, and made it fun, and we counted apples, and we had a great time, and they remember it too. Okay, so that's the big legal tip. Get help. It's not expensive to join. Be sure you withdraw officially so you don't get charged with truancy. And be prepared, because any crazy neighbor could see that you have a child during school hours and call CPS, a social worker. But if you're a member of this organization, you'll have no problems. And then you can enjoy. Okay? Have fun and be blessed.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.